Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. Just a reminder that there is a potluck after worship. I am told that even if you did not bring something, please stay. There is plenty of food for everybody. So please plan to join us after worship. You will probably notice that there are no pew pads in the pews, and that's on purpose because our new church management system, Realm, that we've had for about a year, has an app, and I think Mary has reached out to most of you to help you download that app onto your phone. If you tap on the app, you can check in for worship just by a couple of taps, and that's how you can start signing in. I know some of you did this last week, but if you have an Apple, you tap on the app, you click on more, and it says check in, and you tap it. You don't even have to sign your name on a pew pad. If you have any questions on how to do that, Mary said that she is happy to help you. But if you don't have a phone to do that with, it's okay. I've got you covered. Usually what I do after worship anyway is I can take attendance, and so while it's fresh in my mind, everybody who came to communion, I tap who's here. So if you don't have a phone, please don't worry about it. We have a lot going on right now in this season of Lent. We were just talking in Sunday school that Easter is 3 weeks away, and there is a lot of activity going on in the life of our congregation between now and then. This week we have our midweek meal at 5:30 on Wednesday. The men's group is providing hot dogs and brats and some fixins. And then we will have our worship service at 6:30. We're looking at hymns during these Wednesday evening worship services. This week we're looking at a hymn called When Memory Fades. It's actually sung to a very familiar tune that we all know. But it is a beautiful hymn about how even when our memory fades, God's memory of us never does. So we'll be looking at that hymn on Wednesday, and we hope that you will join us. Next Saturday is Pastor Hoyle's memorial service. If any of you are interested in going, it is in Dallas, North Carolina. It's about an hour and 15 minutes away. And I know his family would be delighted to see you, as I'm told that they remember their time at Holly Grove very fondly. Next Sunday, we're going to continue looking at the Holy Triduum, which is the great 3 days before the resurrection of Easter. It's Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and the resurrection. We started there today. The good news is I didn't bore everybody too much. As you know, I love to think about all things liturgical. But we had some really good discussion, and next week we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the Maundy Thursday service, why we do what we do, and why it's significant, and why it's meaningful, and we might even get into Good Friday a little bit as well. Next Sunday, several things. If you are a grandkid or anybody you know wants to join Silly at Patterson Farms on Holy Saturday, the day before Easter, there's going to be an egg hunt, and there's little rides and all kinds of fun games to play. But you need to RSVP to Anna Nelson by next Sunday so she can go ahead and get the tickets ordered. Also next Sunday from 4 to 6, the youth group is going roller skating at the Axe Throwing Establishment here in Lexington. I just can't say it out loud on a Sunday morning. But we're going to be roller skating from 4 to 6 next Sunday afternoon. And several folks have expressed interest in also coming to this axe throwing establishment, not to roller skate, but to try axe throwing. And they have cornhole and billiards and just to have a time of fellowship. So you are all invited to come on out from 4 to 6 next Sunday for that. I think that's all. We'll move on to our birthdays. We've got several this week. Today is Kim Troutman's birthday. Woohoo. Tomorrow is Rebecca Fulbright's birthday. Another woohoo. Later in the week, Nancy Curry, Paula Hedrick, and Freddie Fulbright. Celebrating their wedding anniversary this week are John and Susan Lohr. How many years? Oops. I put him on the spot. 43. Woo-hoo-hoo. We'll just say a long time. Once it gets up there, you just say it's been a long time. And remembering their baptism this week, Nicholas Jolly, Kent Everhart, and Myra Beck. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And then, as you can see, we've got several prayer shawls over here. We'll test my memory and see how good it is. First, we've got a prayer shawl for Brenda Leonard. She received this a while ago, but she recently had a stroke and is doing rehab at Piedmont Crossing. And so we pray for Brenda in her recovery. You can hold that, pal. This is for Betty Shrewsbury, who is Bobby Fritz's sister, and she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so we hold her in prayer as she goes through treatments and ultimately recovery. And these two prayer shawls are for Eddie and Tina Heitman. So as most of you know by now, Eddie has been diagnosed with tonsillar cancer, and they received the news this week that it is isolated to this area and that he should hopefully not need surgery and have several weeks of radiation and chemotherapy. And so we want to bless these so that they feel our love in tangible ways. And maybe I can say this, if you all want to pray specifically for Eddie to slow down, he's trying to work so much extra right now and be a good provider, but he really needs to slow down and take care of his body even before all these treatments begin. So let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that you always hear us when we come to you, when we come to you with words, when we come to you with cries, when we come to you with groans too deep for words. We lift up our brother and sisters this morning, all going through difficult and challenging times. We pray for Betty and for Eddie as they are navigating their cancer diagnosis and as they are beginning to make treatment plans and go through those. We pray for Brenda, who is going through rehab for her stroke, and for Tina, who carries the weight of her husband's diagnosis upon her shoulders as you have made these two one. And so, God, we ask that you would bless all of these prayer shawls, that as each of these people feel these upon their shoulders or upon their laps, that they would feel the weight of the love and care that we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. One more, buddy. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us return to God, confessing our sin in the assurance of God's abiding love. Compassionate One, you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, but our lives do not always reflect you and your love for the world. We do not show others the tender compassion you have shown to us. We do not welcome others with the radical hospitality you grant to all people. We oppress others, even though you have set us free again and again. We squander the abundant gifts of the earth. Transform our lives and guide us again in the way of the cross. Amen. Beloved in Christ, God's arms are always stretched wide open to welcome the wandering ones home. In Christ, your sins are forgiven. You have a place in God's house forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward, and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace, and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Ava. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Trevor. Well, hi, buddy. I'm happy to see you, too. Well, in just a few minutes, when you all go to Children's Church, we're going to read the gospel lesson. And since it's kind of long, we're skipping the psalm today. But in the psalm, it says, "Happy are those whose sins are forgiven. Be glad and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart." And 3 years ago, when this psalm came up, Kate had just turned 1 year old, and one of her favorite songs was "If You're Happy and You Know It." And so for this song, we sang "If You're Happy and You Know It." And I thought maybe Trevor would like that song, and we could all sing it this morning. You want to try it with me? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Should we do stomping the feet?
No.
So Brantley says yes. Anybody else say yes? Yes? Okay. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. Do you want to try one more time clapping, Trevor? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Oh, wonderful participation, everybody. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for each other. We are so happy that you love us and you forgive our sins and you give us each other to love. We love you, God. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming up and singing. You can go to Children's Church with Susan today. Lengthy gospel lesson, I invite you to be seated. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me a share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered this father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's no secret that I love Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon, so here comes another story from Young Sheldon. I just saw this episode the other day. One Friday evening, while Sheldon was taking a college class and their parents were out eating, Georgie and Missy got out the Ouija board. Missy was apprehensive, telling Georgie that Pastor Jeff had warned them about this game in Sunday school. And wouldn't you know, just as they were about to begin, the phone rings. Missy answers and panics when Pastor Jeff is on the other line and asks what they are up to. Scared, Missy lies and says they are watching TV. After she hangs up, she tells Georgie that she just lied to a pastor and she is going to hell. The fear of going to hell because she did something wrong was so powerful for Missy that she called Pastor Jeff back and confessed her sin. He told her that because she told the truth, she wasn't going to go to hell and her soul was safe. Now, while watching this scene, I'm sure it was meant to be funny. Many a truth is told through humor. And it reminds me of so many of the conversations I have with people and the very real fear that they carry that they might have done something that God sees as unforgivable, or that they have done something that puts their salvation into jeopardy. And I wonder, in these conversations, if this many people are worried about whether or not they're going to go to heaven or hell, or whether or not God can forgive them, maybe more people struggle with these questions than we know. So, dear ones, I want to say it as clear as I can. There is nothing, no thing, that you can say or not say, do or not do, that will cause God to love you any more or any less. This is the truth about God, the truth about God's character. And today's parable expresses this, I think, in a beautiful way. And so often when I'm having conversation with people who are afraid of a sin being unforgivable, or afraid if they're going to hell, this is the story that I tell them. Right? It's the parable of a son who wants his inheritance even before his father dies, which in that culture, in the first century, would have caused the father so much shame and dishonor that he would have disowned his son. But still, the father gives the inheritance. The son squanders it. With nothing left, the son self-centeredly returns home, not with a change of heart, but because he's hungry, and maybe if he says the right words, dad will let him eat the food that slaves do. And while the son is still far off, the father runs to greet him. And he's so far off that the father could only see him if he were looking for him. The father runs to greet his son and embraces him before he even utters a word. Do you hear that? Before this son can apologize or confess, the father embraces him. This parable is about the unconditional love of God that welcomes us and embraces us no matter what. Now, over the centuries, there has been an unfortunate shift in Christianity that instead of the good news of God's boundless love being lived out and proclaimed to help draw people closer to God, the fear of hell has been used to manipulate people into believing in God. And if this has ever happened to you, I am so sorry, because it is absolutely contrary to the good news of Jesus. Not only is it wrong to use the fear of hell to manipulate people into believing in God, it's not who God is. It doesn't reflect the character of God. God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. And so if there is any fear connected to believing in God, it is not of God. But still, the lie that God's love for us is somehow dependent on our actions, the lie that our salvation rests in our hands, in what we do or don't do, those lies pervade our culture and mainstream Christian thought so deeply that we need to be reminded over and over and over and over again that that is not who God is. And that is not how God's love works. And even when I tell people all of this, sometimes they still struggle to trust that. And so let me say it again. Dear ones, there is nothing you can do or not do, say or not say, that will cause God to love you any more or any less. Right? The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Romans 8. Nothing, literally no thing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not even death. So the people who fear that they've done something and what if they die before they receive forgiveness, you know what? Not even you dying is going to separate you from God's love. Because nothing is as powerful as God's love. And how can we be sure? Our baptism. In baptism, God adopts us as God's own beloved children, lavishing love upon us in that water, making us God's very own forever. Forever, no exceptions, forever. Baptism isn't temporary. It doesn't work for a little bit and run out. It's not conditional. You can keep your baptism if you do X, Y, and Z. Your baptism never expires, and God will never take it away or revoke it based on your behavior. Baptism is rooted in God's love for us, and baptism is for all eternity. When God adopts us, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are marked with the cross of Christ forever. And the Holy Spirit remains with us always. And while this truth of God's character and God's love and the promises that God made to us in baptism can be hard to trust, we have to hold on to this truth. Even when we feel the weight of our sin or when we feel the fear of losing God's love. Because what ends up happening is that out of fear and out of shame, we hide our challenges, our sins, our pain, our struggles. We worry that if others knew what we did, or if others knew the things that we think about, that they wouldn't love us anymore, that they would think less of us. And sometimes we feel this way about God too. And so we pull back from God, and maybe we even leave God like the prodigal son did. But the good news is that God will never, ever pull back from you. God will never leave you because God's love is unconditional. It's not conditional on our behavior. We might walk away from God. We might deny God. We certainly sin against God and our neighbors. And yet none of it changes God's love for us. None of it separates God's love from us. God will never turn God's back on you. God will never abandon or betray you. God will never, ever disown you. And God will never undo your baptism. There is no way possible that you will never not be God's beloved children. And so I wanted us to do something today, experiential, to remind us that when we have these thoughts, when we have these fears, that we remember our baptism. It's one thing for me to tell you, remember your baptism. It's another thing for you to come forward and do it. And so in just a minute, we're going to play a song by Zach Williams called The Heart of God. And as you listen to these words that remind us of the truth of God's love, come forward and remember your baptism. Come forward and receive God's tight embrace of you. Come receive God's forgiveness. Come let God welcome you home and clothe you with grace. Come and remember God's promises to you in your baptism. Come remember who you are and whose you are for all eternity, no matter what. Brothers and sisters, come. Remember your baptism as often as you can, because God's love is limitless. It's boundless. It's unfailing. It is so deep and expansive that not only will God never disown us, but God is always looking for us and waiting for us and longing to see us. And when God catches just the slightest glimpse of us, God runs toward us with joyful abandon and embraces us, because there is only love in the heart of God. Amen.
Living in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all those in need. God of faithful promise, make your church a new creation in Christ. As you reconcile us to yourself, guide us also in your way of reconciliation, that through confession and forgiveness, repentance and reparation, your church may bear witness to your love. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of new beginnings, restore balance to the earth. Send rain to places of drought and sunshine to places of flooding, that the produce of the land may again support life. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. God of prodigal grace, unite the nations as fellow members of the human family. Give leaders the courage to put aside pride and ego, to cease squandering lives and time, and to work for the well-being of all. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of boundless love, receive with open arms any in need of compassion, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Anna, Eddie, Mickey, Herbert, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Embrace all who are far from home or estranged from loved ones, and all who live with regret. Embolden your people to offer and to seek forgiveness. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of radical inclusion, widen human circles to welcome all who are excluded. Bless the work of disability ministries, ministries by and with neurodivergent people, and with multicultural and ethnic specific ministries, that the welcome of Jesus be extended to all. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God of resurrection life, welcome home all who have died. We thank you for their lives and entrust them into your keeping, where true reconciliation and eternal peace are found. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
We give thanks for the faithful lives of those who proclaimed your gospel in times of challenge and strife, and for all those whose lives of love and service have ended. May their witness inspire our own. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to move about and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Let us pray together. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant shed in my blood for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All who are hungry, come. The feast of grace is spread.
Thank you.
Please stand for the table blessing. You ready? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting for hunger for justice, our alms and making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Bless our food. Come, O Lord, and sit with us. May our hearts grow with peace. May your love surround us. Friendship and love, may they bloom and grow. God, our tender parent, God, the crucified one, God, the reconciling spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you. Be peace, care for others as God cares for you.